don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue Soccer Show. My name is Cody Bradley, and I have in the studio with me this evening, Pedro.
And Ben Gartland.
And Ben! Ben is here! At Benji Sports in the house.
Yes, for the first time ever on the pod. Long-time listener, first-time participant.
You never, did you ever jump on like when it was a phone pod back in the day?
I may have, yeah, back in... Yeah, not too many times.
It's a new regime now. It's a different.
Yeah, game. This is fancy.
Yeah, this is like blue, up to.
Yes,
went through a rebrand.
This is the Blue Testament to the Daily News, the old Daily News.
Right. Well, Ben is in town from Chicago, where he resides. So let's do a little intro. We intro everyone else that comes on here.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, let's see. I grew up in Kansas City, Olathe specifically, for my whole life, save for 1 year where I lived in Europe my freshman year of high school. This was 2009-2010, and that is where I became a soccer fan. I went to a couple of European soccer matches, which was just a ball.
I'm surprised you went this long without mentioning Poland. It's Poland. That's your
Poland.
Favorite league and all of that.
Yeah.
You just kept saying Europe instead of specifically Poland.
Yes,
I figured you
specifically
would jump
Poland,
all over.
Gdansk, Poland.
I think he pronounced that right.
sounded right. I don't know.
Yeah. If you say it confidently enough, it sounds right.
There you go.
And it was there that I became a soccer fan, came home to the United States in the middle of the World Cup. My first game back was Landon Donovan's Algeria goal.
Go, go, USA!
Oh, goosebumps every single time. And so I was always a fan of the Wizards, but that's when I started following them closely. Next year after that, they changed to Sporting Kansas City. I got really invested, started writing for what was then known as the Daily Wiz.
And how did that happen? How did you start that?
They put out a call for writers, and I, at the time, wanted to be a sports reporter. And so I sent in a sample that I had done for Bleacher Report, and they liked me. And so I started doing some writing, some basic game recaps. And then for a while, a lot of turnover. And so I was doing pretty much everything for a while. And then I was a little salty when... after a couple of managerial changes, I'd put my name in to be the manager of the site, and then this dude named Thad Bell, it becomes the new manager. And 5 years later, here we are.
Yeah, Ben's the only person that's been here longer than me with the site, and obviously he's like the guy I always go to like make sure we're doing stuff right.
Mm-hmm. The three oldest members in the studio this evening.
That's true. Yeah, there was a time when it was just us three on the site.
Yeah.
And then,
how did we do anything if it was just us three? How did we ever write anything?
Well, grit, determination. Yeah.
One thing I noticed though is you mentioned you like wrote for Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
That's like the minor leagues for moving up to SB Nation.
It really is.
Fansided.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bleacher Report. All those. They're just like a minor leagues. For
exactly.
SB Nation.
It's. I was basically on the Swope Park Rangers, and so I got called up.
As much as I want that to be true, Bleacher Report is pretty legit.
It didn't used to be. Yeah.
But Bleacher Report is.
They let a 15-year-old. Write whatever I wanted, so
yeah, so did SB Nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't look up any articles of mine from like 2013 or before. They're trash.
If I remember right, you didn't just write about soccer, though.
Yes, I used to write a ton about WWE.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was looking for a way to practice my writing, and I was a pretty big wrestling fan at the time, and so I wrote for the WWE section on Bleacher Report, and then there was another website that I migrated to where a bunch of us for Bleacher Report wrote, and so I kind of stopped watching, grew out of it. I can still understand a lot of the references that people make on Twitter Monday nights, whenever Monday Night Raw is on.
Okay, that's good.
And then, so then I went to DePaul University in Chicago and was a journalism major for 2 years covering our horrid men's basketball team and our really good women's basketball team. And then decided I wanted to do public relations instead. I went and was an intern for the Chicago Fire for a season, 2016, and that was super fun.
I didn't know you had abandoned, that you weren't still wanting to go into journalism.
Not really. I didn't like, you know, I just found it wasn't for me. I was getting burnt out, and I was really, you know, the more I was doing it, the more I was getting burnt out, the more I was realizing I do not want to do this for a career.
Right.
And so graduated DePaul and now work a 9-to-5 job up in Chicago doing communications for the Jesuits up there. And it's really good. So now I am full-time resident of Chicago for the time being, at least.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And you came in town just for this game?
Mostly to see family. The game happened to
be at the right time.
Yeah, which was very nice. Because last couple times I've come to see family, there hasn't been a game. So it was very nice to be here for the game.
Although it wasn't the best game to see.
Definitely not the best game. The last game, so this was the first Sporting KC game I've been to at home in about 3 seasons. It wasn't even Children's Mercy Park last time. But I do remember the last game.
Yes, tell us, what was that last game?
It was the Paolo Nakamura Sporting Kansas City Vancouver game, the 4-3 win in which Sporting KC scored 3 goals in the last 15 minutes of the match to win.
Oh, Paolo.
We need him today.
We needed something this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just jump into that.
Naga, we got Busio.
Yeah.
So Busio was a positive. Let's try to end with positives.
Okay.
But
start with the positive, end with the positive.
Yeah, okay. I'm
pretty positive.
And then we'll go on to the, we'll sandwich it in with the bad. So I'm not sure where to begin this podcast, but I suppose after this game we should start with the defense. It seems as though the major worry has always been about the striker. Mm-hmm. But then after this game, after the last few games, it's a little worrying.
Yeah, there was a guy in our recap that the esteemed Robert Russard wrote in the recap, saying that maybe a striker isn't our biggest need. Maybe it is defensive depth, and especially with Amor gone. Tonight, talking to Tim Miele afterwards, he seems to think that, you know, everyone's playing hard and we're just getting burnt on the counters. And I kind of disagree with that. The Sporting KC looked very disjointed tonight, especially yes. Beasley and Apara. And maybe it's just a rhythm thing that they need to get back in. But there were several bad mistakes. I put the first goal really on Apara's shoulder, and he was just dominated by Barrios all night.
Yeah, there was mistakes everywhere, and it was just, there wasn't the one play that seemed to go right was Gerso's goal, and literally everything other than that, even the passes that were completed passes didn't look very good. Mm-hmm. They almost were intercepted, someone had to take an extra step that out of their stride, or nothing was on point, like not one part of this. Mm-hmm. And
or the pass was a bad touch when they got the pass.
Or, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Every single part of it just seemed, like you said, Ben, disjointed. But, yeah, Ike, we have to talk about Ike. That first goal is so bad. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes before that goal happened, Allie's sitting there, and she's like, how tall is this person out there? Like, how tall is this dude running around? We looked it up. He's 5'2", the same size as her, basically. And so we're, like, sitting there, like, talking shit, like, laughing at him. Like, oh, professional player. And then this dude kind of, won a header on Ike Opara. I don't even know.
I think he beat him.
Yeah, I don't know how you like describe that play, but this dude was at Ike's hip and came out of there with the ball somehow. It was bad. It was very bad.
Well, and it wasn't even that one play. It was the whole game. How is a 5'2 guy putting Opara in his pocket the whole game? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because soccer is not about size.
That play, though, that first goal, that should have been about size. It should have been about size.
And that one didn't, and I'm trying to remember though, did Ike actually head the ball and towards Tim? I mean, so I thought Ike got a head on the ball. I need to see a replay I think it did hit Ike's head.
Yeah.
And it dropped basically in the path for the Dallas player. Now, I mean, I had a different view and I never got to see replays and stuff.
I think
like
it
that,
hit his head, but he missed his attempt.
It was a bad attempt.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was. That one was a really bad play.
Perhaps he needed some stick'em on that bald head.
Yeah, he did. He got burned by that 5-2 Barrios the whole freaking game.
So I'm watching the highlight right now, and it looks like it wasn't more that Barrios beat Ike for the header. It was Ike misjudged it completely. Oh, yeah. And Barrios was good enough to see that where it was going to deflect, and then he was open to
poacher's goal. For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, scored three of them this game. Mm-hmm. His first three on the season.
Yeah. How many games has he played this season?
I don't know, but good Lord, first three and then the floodgates opened. First goal and then the floodgates opened. Mm-hmm. Not good. Thad just has his head down over there. He's speechless.
Actually, that's pretty much how Ike was in the locker room after the game. Mm-hmm. I think he briefly spoke to somebody and then basically had a towel over his head. So I didn't even have the heart to go ask him a question, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks trying to ask questions after games like this. Nobody wants to talk.
And even when they do, I mean, it's just, what are you going to say? We sucked. I mean, we did talk to Tim just because, I mean, Tim had one bad mistake. He got megged for the one goal.
Yeah,
he did.
Now I'm going to just put a different spin on it for just a second, just because I always have to do that. If Tim stops that one goal, it's a 2-2 game, late comeback to tie the game, and we go, oh, hey, at least that's a better result than the past few games. And, lots of possession, lots of opportunities, blah, blah, blah. If he stops that one goal that he got nutmegged on, do we look at this as, it was better? Or do we just go, oh, this game still sucked, we don't even know we got a point?
I don't think we look at it any better. When the game was tied at 1-1, I'm still sitting there like, they look horrible.
Yeah.
Like they look terrible.
I think they looked better coming out of the locker room in the second half for about the first 15 minutes leading up to that goal, and then after that, Dallas took it away. And I think, to your point, that I think we'd be having a different discussion if Sporting KC had not looked so bad the past 5-6 games. And even the last game that they won, Houston, they were down early. I mean, it took a comeback. And so, you know, everyone's scared. It's the swoon, the dreaded swoon, registered trademark.
I mean, it's undeniably officially here, because the swoon, it's undeniable.
Well, it's early, though.
It is.
I know, but so they obviously could still turn this around and secure a home playoff game. You know, could still turn this around very easily. Mm-hmm. But the swoon happened. As much as I don't want to admit it, it happened right on schedule.
Yeah, even a little bit early. It's a snowstorm or snow in October. It's it's early, but it's coming.
It's a creamy swoon.
Yeah.
And this one, I was very easily dismissing and brushing aside the last games, but this one is hard to swallow with the midfield back. The two center backs have returned, and it just this one was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm.
And now it gets into a conversation about rhythm, because we talked to Felipe after the game, and he's not fully fit. He's still feeling a little bit of pain, and he's not 90 minutes fit yet, and so that played a huge role in it. Yeah.
He was almost offended, though, when you said he was tired. You kind of said it. And
yeah.
I was like, I'm not tired.
I'm not tired.
I said it's down here problem, not tired.
I'm not tired. It's not bedtime yet.
When I left the stadium, I asked if anybody had any questions or things we should discuss tonight. And Nathan Martin tweeted at me that it's not really a question, but more of a note. KC's allowed multiple goals in 5 of Gutierrez's 6 starts. The only shutout was Madranda's first start at left back. Talking about Gutierrez, he's a quality player, but he's not a possession guy, and he plays high up the field, so he leaves a big gap for teams to transition from. When he's playing the 10 spot-ish, because like I said, we don't really have a true 10 with him in there, but he does. He's way up there, and that's one reason those counters were happening early in the season. They kind of started to get it locked down, and then he got hurt.
I know, and then now it's another game where they're figuring out how to play with him back in there again.
Is he just not the right guy for that spot. Maybe we should move him to center forward.
No.
How about center back?
No, I want him right where he is, pulling the strings. I know he disappeared at times tonight, but
I think there's a player out there that didn't disappear tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jalen Lindsey was the best one on the field, but even I mean, he's an outside back. Just by default, they disappear in games. Like,
yeah.
I thought Zusi did well.
He had some really bad moments too, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I have a different angle when I'm down shooting versus being up there watching the game. It's a little bit different seeing how things work because I don't get to see the positioning as well and some of the replays and stuff. I thought, like, a lot of the one-on-one stuff that I saw Zusi do, I thought he did well.
Yeah.
He looked slow at times.
Yeah, everybody did. It's been 10 days since their last game. Why is everyone looking so slow?
That's a very good point.
I understand Felipe looking slow. I understand the center backs looking slow. They're all come back from injuries. I don't understand Zusi looking slow. I don't understand Ilya looking slow.
It was disappointing. We talked about this in the podcast last week that it's, you know, we're all so ready that everyone's rested. Players are coming back. This should all come together.
I kind of feel like that's the Sporting is like the opposite team of what you would expect, right?
So, always.
So if they get like two weeks of rest, they come out and look rusty and tired, right? If they play back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back kind of games, they look like, okay, they just keep going. You know, you got to plug some guy in every once in a while for somebody hurt. It's just like they're just the opposite team.
I'm glad I have backup on that.
They play a low team.
There you go. That's
like
what I was
Minnesota, and Minnesota looks freaking good. Then they play Atlanta.
And then they go to Atlanta.
And in Atlanta, and they win the damn game.
I know. I've ranted about this on this pod before, and it's exactly right. They play to their opponents. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Every time you think there's a game where it's like, oh, we're going to get rocked here. We're not set up to win this. Then some bench player comes and does something great, and they pull out a result.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's like what happens to Sporting is the bench player, you know, the backup keeper that's like, you know, gives up a goal every game or something, comes in and shuts down,
right?
You know, 47 shots or something. Or the guy comes off the bench for his third game ever and scores a hat trick. They're just a contrarian team. Like, whatever you expect, they do the opposite. Just when they're on the roll, everybody's like, oh, we're going to win the supporter shield. Everybody except Thad says that. And then, boom, they have the swoon early. Now that everybody's fully entrenched in the swoon, now they'll go on a run.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got plenty of time to make up the, yeah.
Who's next, by the way?
What game is next?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
I don't look that far ahead.
Usually. We should know that.
I think it's Portland, maybe?
At Portland, right?
No, it's Houston.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's see.
Play Houston again?
Yeah, I'm tired of Houston, honestly. I've been playing them a lot lately.
Put them in the USL.
So
agreed, yeah.
We haven't talked about Beisler yet. Everyone else in the back line has been mentioned, except for Beisler, who, just like Ike, had some very troubling moments and passes that made me facepalm.
Yeah, especially the passes, which is really uncharacteristic for Beisler. He's always really good at positioning, really good at passing. So I wonder if it's just him coming. Like, how many games has he been back for now? I almost feel like he should.
How many games has he been back for? This is his first.
That was the
oh,
first
that was
one
the first
back.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, for both him and Opara.
Okay.
So I mean, again, if we're taking the kind view, is that both of those guys just came back off of injury. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not 100% fit because, quite honestly, your next candidate right now to play center back is Didic, whatever the right pronunciation is, Amir. So that's your next candidate to play center back other than Graham Smith, who is probably in the doghouse with Amor.
We think.
Yeah. So who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he's not, but.
Mm-hmm. And at least we have, you know, several seasons worth of Opara and Beisler's body of work to know this isn't their top performance. We are able to give them the benefit of the doubt.
And we've seen Ike have some bad stretches and
come out of it.
Yeah.
Early in the season, he was not his best.
Mm-hmm.
And he is playing bad. Like, that should, we don't need to, like, shy away from that. Like, he had played very poor tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we don't need to shy away from it, but we also don't need to hammer the poor guy forever. I mean, he's not playing, he did not play well. He's had some stretches. Quite honestly, I don't think he's played well all year. There's just some stretches where it didn't
not
hurt
his best.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, there was some times where it was better than bad, but it was never his best.
Mm-hmm.
So, agreed. But I still love Ike.
Yeah, as do I. And it was only last year that he was Defender of the Year. So I think once he gets healthy, he will be back to normal, as will, I think, Bizarre. But it really, really hurts in this game.
Problem is, can we be confident of that? Which that kind of leads to that question of, is the, in this window, is now a defender the biggest need instead of a number nine?
Oh.
They're scoring an average of two goals or close to two goals a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Sporting has not ever been known for being the goal-scoring team. They've been known for being a stalwart defensive team. Again, I'm using a quote from somebody who tweeted at me. That's been the DNA of this team for years. Great goalkeeping, great defense.
Are we scoring more? Are we still scoring more in this slump because teams know the defense isn't as solid as it has been in the past and they're attacking more and leaving themselves open?
Have teams figured out the style at this point and are exploiting it, and Sporting's exploiting it back a little bit? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the exact answer to that. Yeah.
I also do think the attacking personnel is better this year, specifically
by
Johnny Russell. Yeah. I mean, after the first couple months of the season last year, Gerso pulled a Bieler and just disappeared for a good chunk of the season. Johnny Russell, you know, he disappears for some games, but he's usually back with a couple of really, really good games and really good appearances.
Well, and yeah, I mean, Gerso was the offensive player of the year last year, and now he only gets a start when someone's hurt. So, undeniably,
the only reason he was offensive player of the year was there was nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Undeniably, this team is in a way better position going forward. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, people will hate on Krause and all that stuff, but Jaloui, Russell, Krause, Rubio, even, who's done well coming off the bench, three goals? And
apparently only off the bench.
Well, I don't know that he was horrible tonight. I just don't think that he linked up with anybody tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you could say makes him horrible. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He kept, and I know, like, from the press box where up high you can see things that a player on the field can't, but there's just so many times where he would, his first touch, with his back to goal, he would roll the wrong way. It was just so many times, like at the beginning of this game, his first touch or where he turned or where he looked was like the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like you said, it just seemed like he wasn't quite linking up properly with everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
And at least we got to see Krause at center forward again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, I don't think he's actually bad there. But he came in and he did provide a spark. I
mean, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, briefly, Rubio and Shallowy switched. And Rubio was on the left, Shallowy was in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they switched back, and then Gerso and Shallowy switched. Mm-hmm. They were doing a lot of that up there.
And they do. That's pretty normal that happens throughout the game. I mean, there was a long stretch there where Espinoza was the right back.
Right,
Zusi was in the midfield. I mean, that was coming off of a set piece at one point, but it was just,
they have no problem maintaining that for a couple of minutes after a set piece, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Sporting Weird. We've talked about that before.
Total football.
Okay. So we've covered the defense. Talked about Felipe. We kind of jumped ahead. You guys ruined my outline there. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We
had an outline?
We did
we
talk
had a plan?
About, yeah.
I thought we were just shooting the shit here.
That's why I got here. That's why I left before all of you to get here.
Hmm.
So we could just sit down and go.
Yeah. I should have left with you. The liquor store wouldn't have been closed then.
I don't know why I didn't just.
Yeah. I was planning on bringing beer for Cody and I, because I don't think that drinks. But when I got to the liquor store, it had closed at 11 p.m. because
freaking Kansas,
Kansas.
Where my Missouri people at?
Well, we never made it to Missouri. It was from the stadium to here. That's
I know. I meant my Jackson Countyers will like to hate on my Johnson Countyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so what's next on your outline?
Did we talk about? Well, we kind of talked about Rubio. Do we need to discuss that anymore? Should we just make this? Striker talk again.
Well, we never answered the question. Did the defense become a higher priority in the transfer window than the number nine?
For me, no.
For me, yes. I think we don't have enough depth, especially with a Morgan now.
So, okay. But so this is why I say no. And I need you to explain yourself here.
Okay.
Are you saying Sporting Kansas City needs a new starting center back?
I don't think they need a new starting center back.
Okay. But so that's my point. Then I don't think that I could say we need a backup center back more than we need a striker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
That's how I landed on
that. I can get behind that. You know, my preference would be to get both.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Just pretend this is a football manager and there's no time limit.
Right.
Yeah.
Thad, where are you at in this discussion?
Yeah, I'd like the both answer, but I know that can't be the
answer. You asked a which one question, so we got to do that.
I will actually go with the center back right now. Mm-hmm. The reason
a backup
being,
or a starter?
Starting person who compete for the starting job.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Not just a guy who we know is just a backup, like technically a Moore. We knew he was a backup, and maybe he could be a future guy if everything worked out, right? Mm-hmm. Graham Smith, we know he's a backup, okay? Mm-hmm. We need somebody who can say, yeah, hey, I'm capable of starting center back, you know, mm-hmm. 2 weeks from now after I've learned what Ike's name is.
Do you think that at the beginning of the season, that's why Brad Evans was brought in for like this exact scenario?
But he's on the team.
But exactly. Oh yeah, he's on the team. This exact scenario is why he was brought in. And
it is. And he's just not gotten healthy enough. He's played center back when he's played with Swope.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he can do that. And I think he would be quite capable, except for the fact he's touch slower. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to be out there, he probably needs to play with Ike, who has a little more speed than Bees and the long stretch runs, at least, right? So if he's going to be out there, he's probably that guy. And when he's played with Swope, he's alternated between looking really, really good and not so much. So even if he was healthy, I'm not sure if he's quite up there. I know I had an argument with somebody on Twitter a couple weeks ago and I didn't follow it up because I was too busy, but if Evans plays just one freaking game and fills in for, I mean, if he like starts next week at center back and gives Ike or Bees a rest and they win that game, then his $200,000 salary is worth it.
Yeah. He's making $100,000. $100,000 of that is his locker room presence. So if he can come in and contribute to 3 points on the season, then yeah.
Yeah.
And he's earned the money.
You know, they're like, that's $200,000 and he could sign for somebody else. But this is he's in the salary cap, so that doesn't come out of Sporting's pocket. That's just salary cap money. Right. So unless you were going to specifically had somebody you could sign for that money, or, you know, then it's not wasted money.
Exactly.
I've watched, it's harder to watch practice now than it used to be, but the practices I've gotten to watch where Evans was in there, he has a great presence in there about how he does things and just the little subtle, the way you turn with a ball and shield things and stuff like that. He is extremely good at that.
Right.
He just can't stay healthy right now. So if that little presence, that little experience, if he can pass that on to, you know, even the attackers that are trying to get by him, that's worth the money that was spent. It's not going to be a tangible thing you're going to see and it might show up, you know, next year or have after, you know, Busio has played against this guy in practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, center back, we're at least our squad here is landing on that center back is more important.
Yeah, I think so, if only because Sporting is still scoring a ton of goals. Now, tonight, it was a two-goal performance. The last one was just kind of a, you know, it was late stoppage time. You know, not that I don't count it, but they were outplayed the whole game, and they were frustrated the whole game. But, you know, they went up and scored two goals against a really good Red Bulls team.
And that, I mean,
yeah,
that kind of play, like, that could have happened multiple times throughout that game.
That's true. And you know, Dallas is a really good defensive team. You know, Sporting had so many chances just...
What was the possession
stats? Are we sneaking into the positives here?
Was it like 60-some-odd, 60-something to 40?
Let's see.
Possession is what you're asking?
Yeah. I mean, I barely got to look at that earlier. Because one thing I think I know we all fall into at one point or another is a team can sometimes play well and lose, and sometimes a team can play bad and win, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you looked at the stats and said how many shots did they have, how much possession did they have, and those things, I think Sporting looked okay by the stats, right? Mm-hmm. They did
62% possession for Sporting.
So if you look at it from that perspective, they did some good things against a very good team, and a team that is excruciatingly painful to play against because they will every single moment slow the ball down. Every single moment they will step – like. They will make sure they don't give you space to restart a ball. They will do every single thing. The frigging keeper sets the ball down on the line so that they have to like slow down and go get the ball. Every single thing that they do is just excruciating slow. I don't know what soccer player in when they were 12 years old says, I want to grow up, go play in a big stadium, and not play the game.
Yeah, I was getting really frustrated with that.
They're like Manchester United. It's like a Jose Mourinho side.
Man, I don't even know if they're that bad at it. Dallas is like peak stall. And, you know, they got that goal early, and they were, by the 27th minute or something, they were already stalling.
They were stalling on those on a throw-in in the 20th minute of the game.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just don't know what kid that when they're, you know, playing for their youth club says, yeah, I want to grow up to go and be in MLS and not play when I'm standing on the field.
Like, I don't think many.
But somehow they keep doing it, and that it's frustrated Sporting, I think. That may be part of why Sporting was disjointed tonight, was that style really drives them crazy. I mean, I saw Vermees just, like, you know, holding his head in his hand tonight. You know, like, what the hell is going on? These guys, they're not being punished by the ref. That's just craziness. And I know it sounds like whinage from Peter when he's like talks about that stuff sometimes, especially in a loss. But that was like frustrating early. And I was just like really hoping that there was going to be a 85th minute Sporting goes ahead goal. And then they were going to be the ones that were mad about not having enough time left.
Yeah. I feel like we've mentioned enough here. The team did play poorly. So can we talk about the bad reffing now without sounding salty about it? Because there was one play that, I mean, well, so the horrible, horrible first touch from Kraze where he, like, he was on goal by himself and then his first touch took him away from goal. But that ball he kicked it into the defender's hand. In the box, like that was a handball.
That we could see that from the press box, and then we looked at the replay. Should have been a handball.
I don't know if the ref saw that and decided it was a case of ball to hand, or if he just didn't see it, or what they did there. Yeah. But then another one I'm thinking of.
VAR didn't step in, and we know VAR is like spotless. Yeah. They don't make any mistakes, so they didn't step in.
So yeah, we could be sure that one was correct.
Sarcastic.
They did that right.
Well, and I.
Everyone was going down really easy tonight, and Felipe went down pretty easy at one point, and he did it in the box. And then a couple minutes later, had an amazing split two defenders and got dragged down, and because he went down so easy a minute before that, the ref didn't give him this call.
Yeah.
And now, do you remember that play I'm talking about? That was a penalty. That was a penalty. He earned it.
I would agree. I think there was at least one penalty that was missed by the ref, maybe two. It was, you know, inconsistent. Because I remember thinking in the first 5 minutes of the game, like, wow, this ref is getting all these fouls correct. He's calling a good game so far. And then it was all over the place.
It was.
Yeah.
So... everyone on the team, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Everyone played bad except for two players. There were only two that looked decent.
Who?
And it's not Gerso. I'm going to still say Gerso played bad. The goal was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still Gerso and just so like...
yeah. His crosses were very poor tonight. Yeah. I can think of one where he had, I think it was Shallowy. It was either Shallowy or Rubio streaking into the box wide open. It would have been a goal and then his cross... just goes back to the top of the box. It was, It's kind of like the referee. Gerso is maddeningly inconsistent sometimes.
He's maddening.
Maddening.
Oh, my gosh, he is. He's, like, so clever and so fun. You just look at every time he gets the ball, it's like, oh, he's going to do something crazy, and then he messes it up.
Mm-hmm.
Except for this one play tonight.
Mm-hmm. Which was incredible.
And it really was. He deserves all the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. But, again, he did it, and I'm like... I, like, didn't even cheer. I, like, put my hands up in the air. Like, that every game. Why can't you do that all the time?
Well, there was a good comment and response. It was our own Mike. If he could do that every game, he wouldn't be in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
And, again, in a little fairness, I mean, Russell does that a lot, too. He will try to dribble through two defenders and then get totally stuffed. And then every, you know, at first it was like every game he'd like at least do it once and break through. And then it was like every other game and like every third game because they kind of figured him out a little bit maybe, or he's tired or whatever the reason is. But he was doing that a lot. Like he would just get through two defenders and have a shot or a cross. But now he's not doing it and people still love him. So Gerso doing it. It just seems like the final product when he does do it, yes, is a little weak at times.
But that last, it's the one last touch that's always...
with him, yeah. And sometimes it'll be spectacular, and majority of the time it won't. Although, I want to see the one that you were talking about, because I remember one that he did that I thought that there should have been two runners into the box. The Shallowy was going towards the back post, and there should have been somebody else running in. Should have either been Rubio or Gutierrez. Don't remember the positioning, so I don't. If that's the one I'm thinking of, that would have been in the second half.
There were just sometimes that he frustrated me. There were like some, you know, everyone was passing poorly tonight, and that was a problem. But then he also had some like really dumb and really lazy fouls. Like I thought he should have been yellow carded for persistent infringement after, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that one.
Yeah.
So who was the two players you thought played okay?
Yeah, finally we'll get around to that. The two teenagers.
Yeah.
Busio and Lindsay. Lindsay was the only one that looked good the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Vermees said it in the post-game press conference. That he was like, I wish I would have put him in sooner. I wish I would have put Busio in sooner. The second he got in there, you could tell things were a little more lively.
Mm-hmm.
And something I liked about him tonight was he was, it didn't look like there was any bit of nerves at all. Like, he was, like, asking for the ball, like,
mm-hmm.
like asking for passes with, like, dudes all around him. Like, you know, he was wanting the ball at his feet and, you know, in traffic. And he seemed confident. He was lively.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and he's got that ability. He's just got to get used to that speed. I mean, he said, yeah, the speed's faster, and he gets used to it a little bit in training, but there's nothing like actually being in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'm wondering now if he will be a quicker option for Vermees now. One, just for his own development, if catching him to the speed is really what he's needing to adjust to the level, then... get him in now and get him to that level as quickly as possible because he's got the talent.
That's where I'm at with all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, if these players are that good, throw them in there.
Yeah.
I don't want this to happen. I don't want another Eric Palmer Brown to happen where this bright potential star of ours, and he played like four times in a Sporting Kansas City uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
But what is Peter's main job for today? Is to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Development is obviously high priority, but your number one job as a coach is to win today, mm-hmm. right? So it's a difficult balance. I'm being a Vermees apologist maybe here, but with EPB, he had Beasler and Opara in front of him all the time.
Yeah.
And then there was a combination of every time he went off to play for the U.S., he came back hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of times where he wasn't even available to play. People were complaining that he wasn't getting playing time. But that's why he wasn't getting playing time.
Yeah.
And, yes, he can be a beast, and I think he will be in the U.S. mix in the future for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't blaming anyone, really. I understand that the EPB was just kind of just a really unfortunate mm-hmm. situation for all of those reasons.
Sounded like you were blaming
injuries
him, so
and
I
all that.
Yeah. Him,
no, I'm just saying I don't want that to happen again. And like,
mm-hmm.
I love MLS so much. This league is awesome, but I also understand that like actually where it's at, and if Busio is that good and Jalen Lindsay is that good, then get him out there regularly.
Well, yeah,
I think Lindsay is that good. There's no doubt, okay? To me, there's absolutely no doubt Lindsay deserves to be starting right now. Okay?
Busio might need another year.
Mm-hmm. Seth is one of the greatest players to play for this team. I don't mean as great as in, like, you know, the most talented or anything, but he gave it his all. He was super
Seth is great. I have no qualms with that.
Love Sinovic, right?
If you have qualms with the sentence, Seth Sinovic is great, then don't at us.
Go ahead and at that Cody, though.
I'm normally like all for it. You got some qualms with what we say, come at us, but I don't even want to hear it on that one.
But the reality is Seth is not what he was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've looked at Vermees' history with Seth, he's always been like trying to find the replacement for Seth. It's whoever it's been, okay?
His whole time
Lobato, Madranda, I know there's somebody else in there, yeah. too.
Who's the Canadian guy a couple years ago?
Marcel DeJong.
Yeah, DeJong.
There's been so many. Okay. So many.
And they all come in, and they just don't defensively do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth isn't offensive, okay? I mean, he's got the couple key goals in his life, but he's not Mr. Offense.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the steady Eddie, as Peter called him so many times. But Lindsay is also good defensively mm-hmm. and offensively. And he's playing on the wrong side.
Yeah. Yeah, and Vermees talked about this in the post-game press conference that, you know, Lindsay is doing all this on the wrong side, on his weaker foot. He was really just supposed to be a backup to Zusi this year, and he's done really well on the left side. And, you know, whenever he takes Zusi's spot, I think we're going to be in for a real treat for the next few seasons.
Sorry, Graham, you're on the way out.
If he can stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he's signed through 2021, 2022.
If someone wants him, they will get him.
They have money.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take that money. But can they figure out how to spend it? This is the question that...
That's always the question.
That's always the question.
Yeah.
Well, I think about this. When is the last time that Sporting KC made a big summer transfer signing? It really is.
Summer?
Yeah. Because they really they don't. We get all hyped up for summer, and then nothing ever really happens. I remember Rozelle was a midsummer signing, but he didn't. He played a little bit. That was, what, 2012?
Whatever year it was.
Yeah, whatever year it was. You know, he didn't really start till the next year.
And Peter's brought in the...
Rubio was a summer signing.
Yeah.
The low-level former Barcelona Academy guys, Jordi Quintilla.
Jordi was midseason.
What was the other guy? The year before Jordi.
Oh, no.
Wait. Before Jordi. Was it Alex Martinez?
No.
That he was drafted. Oh, he
no,
was...
No, there was another Barcelona B guy.
Yeah.
No, I lost it. I lost his face now. I can't see it anymore either. Jordi Quintilla and sort of an M.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Let's see here.
Well.
Marcel. Mike. No. Mario.
Ben's looking it up. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm like, just stalling and trying to like.
Well, you weren't stalling is the problem.
I wasn't doing it well.
You were attempting.
We'll edit this in post.
I keep thinking this dude's name is gonna like come out of my mouth. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I know. That's why I was thinking that too. But anyway, that's been the big summer signings. Has been these former Barcelona midfielders who came in and we thought, oh wow, he shows like some really talent, and then doesn't really like the next year he gets released in the summer window.
It is.
And the
it's
next
like always
guy.
The next year.
So I mean, the same thing happened with both those guys.
Oh, Lobato was a summer signing too.
Yeah,
Lobato's actually. I think Lobato's a good signing. A lot of people hated him last year, but he's just got to be not injured.
This is why we should do the podcast live at times.
Oh.
Because there are people that are watching this that know the player that we're talking about, and they can't help us.
Lobato played at La Masia.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
If you'd have read the articles on the Blue Testament, there's this article that some guy wrote about how Ilya knew him there.
Uh-huh.
He played with Ilya.
I don't get that website up in Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot find this player.
If I start pulling it up on my phone and I find it.
Whoa. Lights just dimmed in here. They're telling us to leave.
They're probably tired of us just stalling to find this guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
No, there have been power surges in this building, and I think that's what that was. The other day, there was a power surge, and all six stations went off the air at the same time, and alarms were going off, and it was madness.
It's probably got to be like pretty frightening for whoever like you know is in charge of that stuff here.
Yeah, there are people, because all their offices are like down the hallway, so people were just like hauling ass around here.
All right, so anyway, the question about being a big summer signing, no, there's not really been a big summer signing that's made an impact that year.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is there wasn't one in the winter season for forward other than Kyrie, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, is that good enough? Is it not? And where Sporting's at right now, mm-hmm. they've brought in guys who I think have been defenders who played a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not been a real summer signing.
Yeah.
But that's the problem, is that's when the big guys are free.
Yeah. I remember Colin was his summer signing.
Was he?
Yeah, because he came on and scored the game winner in his debut against Houston. I remember that game.
I miss him.
I do too. Maybe he can be our backup.
He liked KC.
He did.
Okay, do we have any more positives from this game?
The weather was really nice.
The weather was nice. There you go. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Was the press box food good this time? I was never up there. What was it?
It was fried chicken and
fried chicken and purple potatoes.
I'm not complaining.
I was okay. That was free food.
I'm not complaining. It's free food, but also bring back the pizza.
Yes. Now racist free.
Yeah.
Antonio Davale.
Oh,
I found it first on my phone. I gave you guys both a long head start.
I stopped looking. What'd you search for? What was your search?
Sporting Kansas City roster 2014.
Oh, well, you knew the year. There you go.
Yeah. I kept typing in Sporting KC, Barcelona B, Masia. Yeah.
All you had to do was look up the roster, man. That was easy.
So was he a summer signing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they signed people.
Yeah, but he didn't do much. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The summer signing window, Vermees history is not good with that. I mean, I'm kind of always a Vermees defender, but his summer signing window it has little to no impact that year. Right. Maybe it does the next year. Yuri Rosell, Lobato, hopefully. There's not a whole lot of other ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
So we've talked about how Vermees is not going to reach that point and say, screw it, I'm just going to sign someone.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not sure about it or if he thinks it'll waste money. He won't do that. But will an owner or someone get to the point and be like, Peter, waste our money.
I think he's been told that already. I quite honestly think he has been told that almost exact phrase, like, go spend our money.
Mm-hmm.
He's been told you do not need to be frugal.
Yeah.
Now, he can't maybe go spend $20 million, okay? He can't go spend Atlanta.
But don't they have that money?
They do. I mean,
Cerner's got that money, man.
Yeah, how?
They have that money, but they're also not stupid. They're not going to throw $20 million every year at Sporting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not every year.
They're going to throw.
Not every year.
Like $5 or $6 million, however much they threw at Michael Bradley when they made that offer. They are making
when
that offer.
Claimed to have made that offer.
I believe they made that offer.
Yeah.
But I believe that they made the offer knowing he wouldn't take it.
Why would they know he wouldn't take it?
Because someone else was going to pay more.
Mm. Yeah,
but you don't know they're going to pay more until you make that offer and somebody tops it.
I think they knew what they were doing. Oh, but I'm kind of glad it didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Now we'd have public enemy number one on the national team on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's still very good, though. I like Bradley's game.
Yeah, I kind of feel... probably a good thing that both Bradley and Altidore are playing half their games outside of the United States.
They're probably fine with that.
Yeah. You play soccer in Canada, you're in the witness protection program.
Yeah.
Kind of like playing in Houston. Nobody knows you're there.
Okay. No more. Oh, I'm trying to think of something to end positively.
It was nice to see all of you in person.
Yes.
We had Ben here.
Ben, very good to have you here.
Yeah. It was a nice night. Busio, Lindsay.
Ben, say something prophetic. You were trailing off. Actually, say something prophetic.
My camera, I'm happy with it still.
Oh, yeah. Did you figure out how to send pictures yet?
No, I've not even tried yet.
That's the only thing I care about. That's the number one thing I want, so we can get speed. We got pictures at halftime to post.
Well... You want pictures at halftime? There's an easy solution for that.
We're gonna get the IG built up.
You want pictures at halftime? Come down, grab a card from me, put it into the computer, load them onto the computer.
We don't have to do that anymore. You got a Wi-Fi on.
But then
now.
You can take all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now you can. I bet it's so easy on that thing. I bet right when you take a picture, I bet there's like one button that you push. It's like send or like share to Google Drive or something. I bet it's so easy.
I think there is. I just don't know how to do it yet.
I'm excited for this camera. Did you show up late? We were looking for you. Me and Ben were looking for you. You were late.
I was.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
There's no catching me if I admit it.
Yeah.
I didn't sneak in like, oh my God, Cody might have noticed I was late.
Now all of our listeners know that you're not on time.
Would you like to know why I was late?
Yeah.
Because we had a memorial service for my mother-in-law who died a week ago.
Well, then, no, I didn't.
You asshole, Cody.
God.
We set it for 2 to 5, but people were still there crying until about 7-something.
You sound salty about that. But people were there. They had the audacity to be crying at this funeral.
Well, they stayed 2 hours late.
Okay, well, on the funeral note... We're going to end it. Seems appropriate.
Do you feel bad now, Cody?
No, because you wanted to
shame.
Say it.
Shame.
I know you
shame.
Wanted to say that. You can shame me for the sake of good radio. I'll take it.
Yeah. Do we still want to end on a positive?
No. Let's end on the funeral. That makes sense.
Okay.
Fitting for the game and the form of Sporting KC currently.
Mm-hmm. Do we have like a funeral dirge you can play at the end instead of the normal? Mm-hmm.
No, ours is still fitting. The outro is very fitting.
Yes,
except,
it is.
Except when the liquor store closes at 11 p.m.
See, nothing worked out. The team couldn't play. Liquor store wasn't open.
Freaking Kansas City Sporting.
Okay, Ben. Are you going to visit again anytime soon?
Probably Thanksgiving, Christmas. We can talk about how we're not signing anyone in the winter transfer window.
Okay.
Or how we're gearing up for MLS Cup. How about that?
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
I will come back for MLS Cup.
There we go.
Now, another one of the questions person asked on Twitter, Vermees out, which wasn't really a question, but it was Vermees out, ?
Of course.
So it's a question. Is he in danger if this continues?
Oh no, they could have another year. He could not sign anyone. They could lose in the first round of the playoffs, and he will absolutely be there next year.
I feel like we'd get more discontent from the ownership, more public, I think.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I guess Rob's not part of, I mean, Rob's still a owner. He's just not any.
Rob's an owner, not the CEO or president,
right,
or whatever title that is. He's with the other part.
Yeah. He steps back.
Yeah. So I feel
the only thing you really hear from Rob anymore is that Beer Corner's open.
That's true.
That's really the
that's
only.
That's all I need, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need from him.
When Beer Corner is closed, that's when we know Vermes is in trouble.
But we used to get rumors from Rob. Okay, we're talking to some guy in Europe, you know, that stuff.
And the team didn't like that, and that's why he doesn't do anymore, I'm sure.
I think Vermes had him removed.
Okay, well, we'll hope to have you back again, Ben.
I hope to be back. Thank you for having me on.
We'll see. Yeah, you can't come back if they're going to be losing, though.
That's true. Let's see. But the last game I was at before this one was covering the game in Chicago where they came back and won. So maybe I just need to go to away games.
Ooh, Wayne Rooney. Man, I got highlights on ESPN here in the studio. Wayne Rooney got all bloodied up. You guys see that?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
He had an easy goal, though. He was going against some guy named Tim Howard.
Oh, man. Too easy to score on TV these days.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Until next week, probably.
Yeah, we should have something.
Ben, you gotta do Allie's Woo. Okay.
Woo!
Go Sporting!
Anything to shake, that's what I'm in. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.